محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاه حي على الصلاه حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاه قد قامت الصلاه الله اكبر الله اكبر لا اله الا الله
الله اكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Inshallah, reminded that after the dua we will be having an English bayan by Maulana Muhammad Amirji Sahib. All brothers are requested to participate and benefit, inshallah. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم الله Please come forward, brothers. Come stand, sit closer to the front of the masjid, inshallah.
In the name of Allah, the Most Merciful, the Ever Merciful. Wassalatu wassalamu ala ashrafil anbiya wal mursaleen. And peace and blessings be upon the most noble of messengers. peace and blessings upon the most noble of messengers. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakallah khair to all of you for sacrificing your time in this blessed month of Ramadan. Several years ago, I was teaching in a maktab in Cambridge. Has anybody, is it okay? Can you hear? No? Allah, I'll hold it a little bit higher. Has anybody here been to Cambridge?
Yes.
Been? Have you seen the new masjid? Nice masjid. If you haven't been, go with your families, inshallah. Go and visit the new masjid. It's a very beautiful masjid there, very scenic and picturesque city as well. Anyway, I'm not part of the Cambridge Tourist Board. The reason I'm sharing that is because on Saturdays and Sundays we used to have a maktab, and there's a large Bangladeshi community in Cambridge. And so I used to teach, alhamdulillah, some children. And they used to be teenage boys. I was going to point to Farooq Bhai for a second, but he's just past the teenage years, mashallah. 21. With a salt and pepper beard as well. 21, mashallah. So, anyway, I digress, as I often do. So I was teaching these group of young boys, and we used to start at 10 o'clock in the morning. And so we were teaching, and it was a small group, maybe about 7 or 8, maximum 10. And about and it used to be for 2 hours, from 10 till 12. And about an hour and a half after the lesson started, this young chap, he walks his way into the class. He's probably about 15 years old. I'm not going to say his real name, because there's a very small chance he might be listening to this. So let's call him, I'm not going to call him Farooq. Let's call him Yusuf for the sake of argument. If there's any Yusuf in the house, apologies. There's no offense intended. So this Yusuf comes in, and I look up, and he moses along, and he just sits back. He sits down in his place, and he carries on as everything is normal. So I said, "Hey, boy, what time do you call this?" And then his story starts. "Oh, Sheikh, I'm really, really sorry. Forgive me." I said, "What happened?" He said, "Do you know, I was hungry." I said, "Okay. But 1.5 hours, that hungry?" He said, "No, I had some food, and then it took me quite long." I said, "It took you 1.5 hours to have your food?" He said, "No." I said, "What were you doing for this whole time?" He said, "I had some food," and then he paused. And I could see his brain is working. He said, "I had to look after my my dad." I said, "Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. What's wrong with your dad?" He said, "Oh, he's sick." I said, "What's wrong with him?" Pause. He said, "Oh, he was, he couldn't move." I said, "It sounds very serious. I think I must come and visit him then." So after masjid, let's go and visit him. "Oh, Sheikh, you know, he's got a bit of an infection and you might catch off him as well. So it's better you don't visit him." I said, "Okay, no problem. Then let me call him. I'll get his number. In fact, you give me his number." "Oh, Sheikh, you know, he's resting at the moment. It's better you don't." Anyway, so this story continues, one story after the other. And then I said to him, "Yusuf, what is your story?" I said, "It doesn't make any sense." I said, "I can pick up the phone now. I can get your dad's number. I can call him, and he can verify everything you've said to be true. That will give me a headache and you a headache. But if that is not true, then just tell me the truth, and then we'll see what happens." So then he's thinking, and all the other kids are sort of pretending to read, but then from one ear they're listening and they're looking like this as well, or some of them are smirking and smiling. So then he goes, "Oh, Sheikh, I'll be honest with you." But he goes, "Don't make me into trouble." I said, "I can't promise you're not going to get into trouble, but tell me the truth and then we'll see." He said, "Sheikh, I was coming to the masjid on time, and I stopped in a corner shop. And sometimes, you know, the boys, they pick up things, snacks and other things, and then when you're not looking, they pull out the sweets, have some chewing gum, whatever it is, and like, it's kids, they, you know, have snacks. So I was in this corner shop, and then have a TV in the corner shop, and the cricket was on. And at the time, it was a World Cup. I can't remember, it was one day World Cup or T20 or whatever it was, and probably this is before T20 days, so I'm giving away my age, and probably the one day World Cup, and Pakistan were playing, and I couldn't stop watching the Sheikh. So I'm there, and then the man goes, "Are you going to buy anything in my shop, or are you just going to watch?" So I didn't have much money, so I had to go and buy one small thing out of holding this, and I'm watching the whole cricket. And then before I know it, 1.5 hours are gone. I thought, "Oh no, quickly!" And then I ran over here. So I didn't know whether to laugh or to cry. What do I do with this kid? He's just walked in 1.5 hours late, and he comes with a pack of lies. And then after that, he tells me the truth. So I was very tempted to phone his dad, but I know his dad's temperament. One day I spoke to his dad about this boy because he was misbehaving for something else a while previously. And the dad called his son, and the dad was about to smack his son in front of me. I said, no. He goes, "Mera beta bada gada hai." He said, my son's a big donkey. I said, no, you don't need to go to that extent. You just need to tell him that what he did was, was wrong or whatever it was. I can't remember what he did that at the time. Maybe he was just being rude or misbehaving. He goes, "Should I give him a few smacks?" I said, "No, that's uski koi zarurat nahi hai. Leave him as it is." And you could see that this Yusuf, he was about to flinch because he knew that he was going to get one. So I said, "Leave him alone, don't worry about that." So I know that if I phone his dad, I know what the cause of the action was going to be. So I'm thinking, is there anything I could do? As I'm thinking this, I noticed something strange about this Yusuf. You know, you have a rucksack that people normally wear, and you normally wear it on your back. But Yusuf had it back to front, so he's got it on his front. And we're having this whole conversation, and I said to him, why have you got your rucksack back to front? You know, it makes no sense. It's a rucksack, it's a backpack, you're supposed to put it in your back. And then he goes to me, "Sheikh, you know, inside my rucksack is my Quran Sharif. And I think it's disrespectful if I wear it on my back, because the Quran is then facing my back. That's why I wear it like this." And then I paused and I said, "Yusuf, because of this, I forgive you. Go and sit down. You have taught me something today." Alhamdulillah, we had a chance to teach him Alif Bata, but he taught me a lesson that day. And the lesson he taught me was that this young child, despite doing bad things, bunking off mosque, lying about it, all the other things, but actually deep down within his heart, he had an azma and a respect and an honor for the Quran Sharif. Something that I learned a lesson from Allah, subhanAllah. And then it made me think and reflect, because in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a verse in which he says, "ذَلِكَ وَمَنْ يُعَظِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ." This is in Surah Hajj. So the verse says that whoever honors, respects the sha'air, the symbols of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is from the sign of the piety of the hearts. In other words, this person has got piety in their heart if they respect the symbols of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I thought that this young boy, despite all his wrongdoings, he has piety in his heart because he has respect for the Quran. Why am I mentioning this to you? Because even though you are all fasting, mashallah, I know you have a lot of mental energy and a lot of physical energy. So if I ask you a question, inshallah, you're going to be forthcoming with your responses, inshallah. Inshallah. They're all dead for it. They're all dead. I don't know if they had suhoor, what happened? No wheat to mix today. What's happening? I don't know what's happening. So if I were to ask you, what other... So the Quran is a symbol of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? Sha'air. What other symbols of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can you think of? So sha'air is... Symbol is one word. Rites, spelled R-I-T-E-S, is another word. Signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What are the other symbols of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? There's no judgment here. There's no right or wrong. It's fadl. Adhan, mashallah. Adhan. Beautiful. Shall I tell you one quick thing about adhan? You know, when I was studying in South Africa, there was this lady. She passed away on Friday in the month of Ramadan. And there, they used to write it on the board that this person has passed away. And so then I asked somebody, I said, "This person must be a very, very pious lady. You know, tell me about what action did she used to do, what good things did she used to do?" So they said, "Look, I don't know. Go and ask the family member." So then I asked the family member, and they said, "Really, this lady, she you know, she was a close relative, but she didn't do many good deeds. I said, she must have done something that was pleasing to Allah. Allah gave her malt in Ramadan on a Friday, and the number of people that were there for janazah. And then the person thought for a while and said, yeah, there was one thing that she always did, without fail. That in South Africa, the adhan is played on the loudspeakers outside. Without fail, whatever she was doing, when the adhan went off, she would stop and listen to the adhan. If she was watching TV, she would switch the TV off and listen to the adhan quietly. If she was doing cooking, whatever it was, she would stop and she would listen to the adhan. And that person says, I don't know, but I do know this quality that she had is that every single time she would respect the adhan and give us its due. And that's why when you mention the adhan, that is that incident came to mind. So adhan is one of the sha'ar of Allah. And this lady, she respected the adhan, and look at the end Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave her as well. Brother, you're going to say something? Somebody, I heard somebody else say something. Salah, mashallah, yeah, salah. Prayer is also from amongst the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There was a person I worked with, and she was a Muslim lady, but she didn't wear hijab. And outwardly, when we see a Muslim lady not wearing a hijab, then sometimes we can jump to conclusions that this person is not practicing, this person is not pious. Those thoughts can cross our mind. And when, after some time, having worked with this person, I understood the akhlaq and the mannerisms. One day somebody mentioned to me about this lady, Muslim lady, who didn't wear the hijab. And it shocked me. They said, do you know this Muslim lady? This person's name. You know, every Monday and every Thursday she fasts. Every Monday and Thursday she fasts. And she wakes up for tahajjud. I thought, subhanAllah. Where was I in my thinking in relation to this lady? And what are her actions in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Who am I to think about these things in relation to her? And what is her rank in relation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So when you mention salah, absolutely. Salah is one of the symbols. Any other symbols you can think of? Come on, guys. Help me out here a bit. There's no right or wrong answer. Don't worry. I'm not going to chastise you. No udbet if you get it wrong. This is a safe space. Sorry. Don't worry if you get it wrong. Sadaqah. Beautiful. MashaAllah. Sadaqah is one of those charities and acts of worship as well. There's a story about sadaqah, but to be honest with you, if I tell you a story about sadaqah, I'll just keep on telling you stories all the time. Any other symbols you can think of? So adhan, salah, sadaqah as well. Any other symbols of Allah you can think of? What's all this? The whole world is a symbol of Allah? Allah's creation. Okay, nice. MashaAllah, good.
When you stop yourself doing haram, that is from the sha'ar as well, right? Not taking riba.
Yeah.
You protect the sha'ar as well.
Yes, to follow the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, absolutely. Anything else? MashaAllah. They're waking up a little bit. Anything else? Don't worry if you get it wrong. There's no chastisement.
Siyam,
MashaAllah. Very apt. Siyam. Fasting is one of the symbols of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's my segue into why this talk is in Ramadan as well. So jazakallah khair to you. What's your name, brother?
Siraj.
May Allah make you a luminary and a Siraj in this world and the hereafter as well, inshaAllah. Siraj and Munira, inshaAllah, bismillah. Siyam and fasting is one of the symbols of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we can group these sha'air into different categories. Some categories relate to acts of worship, for example, fasting, salah, like acts of worship. I don't know if people here understand English. They're looking at me like I speak Kazakh or something, like I'm speaking Swahili. Yeah, this is the basic questions. Come on, read the Quran, mashallah, tazarakallah. Tasbih, Quran, acts of worship, anything else. They're all going to say silence is an act of worship as well. Oh, that's the excuse as well. Come on, guys. Acts of worship. So all of these acts of worship are symbols of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Places of worship are symbols of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The masjid is a symbol of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I said, I won't tell you other stories, but I'll tell you one other story. And these are, I share these stories not because I heard it of somebody who heard it of somebody who heard it from my next door neighbor, who heard it from their dog, who heard it from a WhatsApp group message. These are people I experience and I've seen myself, or I've heard these things firsthand myself. So there's a person I know, he, how can I put this politely? He's passed away now, Allahu Yarhamu. He was not a nice person by all accounts. If you ask any person about him, I don't think I've met somebody who would have good things to say about this person. Let's put it that way. But he was performing i'tikaf in the masjid in the month of Ramadan. Somebody came into the masjid, took out a knife, and stabbed him to death. A complete random person who had a mental illness. He became shaheed whilst doing i'tikaf in the month of Ramadan, in the masjid, whilst fasting. On the one hand, you have all of these people saying, this person is like this, he's useless, he's like this, he's like this, he's like this, he's like this, he's like this. On the other hand, Allah says, actually, no. He's like this. To me, he's like this. But what was the action? Allahu A'lam. One thing that people said afterwards about him was that he would always respect the masjid. If he saw dirt and rubbish in the masjid, if he would always pick it up. He would be somebody who would value and sanctify the masjid as a place of worship. What I mean by that is somebody who, they wouldn't be on their phone in the masjid. They wouldn't be talking about the dunya in the masjid. They wouldn't be raising their voices in the masjid. They wouldn't be looking around in the masjid. They'd be focused. That when they enter the masjid, something changes in their heart where they feel that they're entering a space that is different outside. Outside, yeah, we talk about other things. We have a laugh and a joke and we talk about whatever we need to talk about. But in the masjid, this is a place that is sanctified by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a place for his worship. So he had something in his heart, Allah knows best, he had something in his heart where he entered the masjid. He revered and respected the masjid as a place that was special. And this is something, the reason I'm sharing this, my brothers, is this is something that I've noticed in my ripe old age. I'm not going to give you my exact age. But in my ripe old age, I see this over time, slowly in our communities, including the Muslim community, we are losing this. The respect that we have for elders, the respect, whether those elders are Muslim or not Muslim, back in the days, we used to get a smack around the back of the head if we were disrespectful to somebody, even if they were Hindu next door neighbour. I remember when my first day I went to madrasa, my mum, she said to the Malisab, and she said it in Gujarati, and she said, wherever, I'm going to just turn it into English so you understand. She says, you have my full permission to hit him. My full permission. I'm there, I'm thinking, what's happening? You know, my mum is giving full permission. Why? Because she had respect for the sheikh, that the sheikh is somebody you respect. And if the sheikh disciplines you, then he has full right to. I'm not asking for permission to discipline your kids. That's your job, your headache, you sort it out. But the reason I'm sharing that is that that person, these people that had respect for things. And over time, what I'm noticing is slowly, we are losing respect for the symbols of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why is it important? When I was at school, I remember we were doing religious studies, and as part of religious studies, we had Bible studies. And I remember this very, very clearly because it stuck in my mind. There was a kid in my class, I can't even remember his name, but in Bible studies, everyone got given a Bible, and he had to open it and read through it. And over time, sometimes if you use a book a lot, it becomes, you know, the spine of the book becomes loose, or the binding becomes weak. Sometimes the front cover comes off. Sometimes the pages, they rip and stuff. So this Bible had become tatty. And this kid in my class takes a Bible and chucks it in the bin. And I remember this very, very clearly, thinking that this person is Christian, but he's just thrown his Bible in the bin. What is he doing? I regret not taking that Bible out of the bin. Even though it's not our holy book, it is still a holy book. And I regret not taking it out, putting it in a place. Because those who revere and respect the symbols of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they have piety within their hearts. Bishr al-Hafi, you know the story, I'm not going to repeat it. But he was somebody who was a drunkard. By today's standards, he had somebody who could be going around going to the pubs. And this drunkard was walking one day, by one account, he sees a piece of paper in his drunken state with Allah's name written on it on the floor. He picks it up, dusts it off, applies perfume and puts it in a high place. At night he sees a dream and says, "Oh Bishr, you have honored my name in this world, respected my name in this world. I will honor your name in this world and in the hereafter." This Bishr al-Hafi became a saint of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Bishr is his name. Hafi means barefooted. Because when this happened, he was walking barefooted. And since then, they say, he would walk barefooted so that he would be in that state of consciousness of how he thought at that time in relation to this small act. We think of Bishr as a saint. What people don't realize was that he was a great scholar as well. From the great imams, the four imams of the madhabs. Spoiler alert, question. The four main imams are of madhabs. Imam Shafi'i, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, Imam Malik, Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah ta'ala, may Allah have mercy upon them all. Bishr al-Hafi, this man who was a drunkard, who Allah's heart they changed as a result of that one deed of him picking up that small piece of paper. He was the ustaz of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, rahimahullah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he was a student of Al-Fudayl ibn Uyadh, rahimahullah ta'ala, who was a student of Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah ta'ala. The point I'm trying to raise is that look at that rank that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him, both spiritually and intellectually, as a result of what? Respecting one of the symbols of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my dear friends, my dear brothers, and my sisters listening at home, respecting the symbols of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a sign of the taqwa of our heart. And that is why when we have the Qur'an at home, the way we touch it as a book should be different to the way we touch the daily mirror, or the way we touch the focus that comes through our letterboxes here locally, or any other book that we have, Harry Potter at home. The position we put the Qur'an should be higher than any other book. When we come to the masjid, our behavior should be different from entering Morrison's or Aldi or going into Sheikh B's, wherever else we go, because we're entering in a holy place. There's something within our hearts should change when we enter, that actually we're entering, and when we are conscious, we enter with our right foot. We monitor how we use our phone in the masjid. We monitor how we use our tongues in the masjid. Why? Because the masjid is a sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a symbol of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whoever respects the symbol of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taqwa in their hearts. And inshallah, whoever has taqwa in their hearts is on a means of guidance and goodness. So any chance and opportunity for us to respect that. Yes, we should avoid going to extremes. There are people in our community that go to extremes where they go beyond what is permitted in the Sharia and they respect and revere things. They bow down to graves. Or for example, they commit acts which we would consider to be, or the scholars would consider to be bid'ah. No, we're not talking about that act, that level there. But basic reverence, basic respect for the symbols of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for things that are connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, including acts of worship, are really, really important. And that is a segue into fasting. I'm going to leave us with one point, inshallah, and then we'll conclude. Fasting is a symbol of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to fast, we often think ourselves of, we think in terms of, or we can think in terms, mashallah, you're all pious guys. I think in terms of, okay, what am I going to have for iftar? Is it going to be A, B, or C? Like, is it going to be this fried food or this fried food? Should I choose this one or that one? And what order am I going to have in? Is it this or this or this? And, like, that's how I think, right, guys? Mashallah, you're all pious. I know you're thinking about what du'as to make in tahajjud. So, the point I'm thinking is, fasting, we abstain from food, we abstain from drink, we abstain from sexual intercourse during the daylight hours. But non-Muslim people can do that as well. Earlier this week in Bolton Royal, there was an event on fasting for staff. May Allah reward all the volunteers. There were non-Muslim people who were fasting as well. They were abstaining from food. So, and there's non-Muslim people who observe fasting, intermittent fasting, more often than some Muslims do, even though not Muslim. So what then is the difference between a person who abstains from food, who's not Muslim, and a Muslim person? They're the same in that they both abstain from food. The key difference is the act of abstaining from food for a believer and for a mu'min has an impact of increasing their iman. has the impact of increasing their faith and taqwa in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and has the impact of squashing and crushing their ego. And that is why the summary of Ramadan, or the spirit of Ramadan, is really beautifully encapsulated in starve the ego and feed the soul. Starve the ego, feed the soul. So our ego, our base desires, our things that tells us to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to follow our desires, Ramadan suppresses that. It helps to control that, it helps to crush that. And it helps to nourish our soul. And when we're out in the normal day-to-day, where we're busy with work, we're on our phones, we're watching a bit of footy, we're doing day-to-day things that we all do, we are bombarded by adverts, dunya, 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 dunya. This world, 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 world. So much so that we think our entire existence is for this world, and we forget. The impact that has, sometimes even subconsciously, is that we begin living in this world as though, you know, we're going to live for a few more years. Or, I'll have a long life. Or, I was created for this world. Not in necessarily how we act and behave, but it has an impact in our subconscious. And so one of the benefits of Ramadan is for us to take us out of that mind state and say, actually, no. Actually, what's happening here is you've been created for a better purpose. That you don't live for food. We don't live for food. We don't live for drink. We don't live for sexual gratification. We live for a greater purpose. Ramadan is there to teach us that purpose and to remind us of that purpose. And that is why that focus is really important. What is the whole point of all these stories and all these anecdotes that Molly Saab shared with you for the past 20 minutes? Two takeaway actions. I said takeaway, look, see? Food is on my subconscious. Two actions for us to take away. Let me phrase it that way. Two actions for us to take away. The first action is, how can we, and my question is, how can we feed our soul? What actions can we do to feed our soul? And the survey says, see, people who aren't old enough to me don't even understand that joke, the survey says. They don't even know what I'm talking about, because they're from a different generation. What actions help feed our soul, brothers? What deeds help feed our soul?
Dhikr,
mashallah, beautiful. Mashallah, dhikr, yes. Any other actions? Silence. Silence with the right intention feeds our soul, yes. What else? This is not a trick question, guys. It's not hard. Good deeds. Give me examples of good deeds that help feed our soul. Praying salah, mashallah, good. Yeah, man. Next time I'm forget Azhar Academy, I'm not coming here. Where's Maulana Hassan?
Reading the Quran and trying to understand the Quran as well.
MashaAllah. Reading the Quran, reflecting on the Quran, doing dhikr, praying salah. Come on, guys. What else? Give me two more. I'm going to pick on somebody, seriously. Come on. I'm going to pick on you. Making dua. There you go. What's your name, brother?
Mikail,
mashallah. Angelic name, angelic dua, inshallah. One more. Don't start looking down because I'm going to pick on you if you look down as well. Young man, you know, what is your name again? What's your name, young man?
Uthman.
Uthman, you know Uthman, my friend? You know, all of these adults, they're half asleep. So put them to shame. Give me an example of any good deed that you can think of, that a person can do, a Muslim can do.
Sadaqah.
Sadaqah, mashallah. Can we have a big takbir for Uthman? You know, Uthman al-Ghani, the Sahabi great companion, he was a great companion. And one of his renowned qualities was that he would give in charity profusely. May Allah make you like Uthman al-Ghani. Ameen. Uthman has shaped us all. In a good way. Alhamdulillah, Uthman. Next time, Uthman, I think we need to get you to come and see him, my friend. All of these good deeds are good deeds. So there's two things that we need to do. The first thing, and this is why I prioritize this over other things, is we need to stay in the company of pious people, my brothers. We need to stay in pious people's company. Spend as much time as you can in pious people's company. Go and listen to their talks. Go and sit in the dhikr halaqas, in the circles. If we can't attend in person, listen online. But ideally, try and spend some time in their company. Even if you can't speak to them, just seeing a pious person with the right intention is an act of worship, inshallah. Biggest thing I'd recommend all of us do as a action from today is to spend as much time in pious people's company. And the second thing is to focus on those acts of worship that help feed our soul. In particular, all the things that the brothers you've said, are true, but in particular, very good acts of worship that help feed the soul. Dhikr is a really, really important one, especially in Ramadan. Quran, Salah, and Dua. These four things in particular, dhikr, Quran, Salah, and Dua, these four things in particular help to build our spiritual state and help to suppress our ego. So those four actions in particular are very good. It doesn't mean to say we can't do the other things. Absolutely do those things. But those four deeds in particular help to suppress the soul and feed the ego. What is the risk of us not doing this, and I'm finished with this, is that if we don't control our egos, my brothers, if we let our egos grow and grow and grow, then we see what we see in the world today. We see egotistical, mostly men, dropping bombs on innocent people for absolutely no reason whatsoever, other than the fact that they are following their own selfish self-interests and their own desires, their own greed, their own power, their own self-motivation. Their own ego has got them to the extent where they ignore everything else and everybody else. They don't care whether they kill people mercilessly. They don't care about starving people. That doesn't matter to them. What matters to them is that they satisfy their ego for more power, more money, more fame, more fortune. Why? Because they live for this world. And sad to say, we don't need to look far. Sad to say, there are Muslims who are enabling that. Muslims who are enabling that. Muslims who are facilitating that, either through complicity in their silence or through green-lighting actions of tyrants and oppressors. And they have Muslim names like us. They look like me and you. What is the difference? The difference is that they haven't controlled their ego. They haven't nurtured their soul. And if we don't do that, my brothers, we risk being like them. Not maybe to that level, but we risk falling in that trap. That is why we should never ever fall. We should never think we've conquered our nafs. We should never think we've defeated shaitan, even until the very end. We should always struggle, and we will fail, and I will fail more than anybody else. But we should get up, try again. Keep trying, keep trying, keep trying. Allah values our effort, not necessarily the outcome. The outcome is in Allah's hands, but what Allah values is our effort. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a tawfiq to respect His symbols. May Allah allow us to respect our elders. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to respect our women folk. May Allah give us a tawfiq to respect our children, our neighbors, our Muslim brothers and sisters, our non-Muslim brothers and sisters in humanity. May Allah give us a tawfiq to respect the Quran, to respect the prophets, to respect the masajid, to respect our ulama, to respect all the things that are linked to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah give us the respect for the Quran that brother Yusuf had when he wouldn't wear the Quran on his back. May Allah give us the tawfiq to stay in good company, the company of the pious people, the company of the ulama until our very end. May Allah give us the tawfiq to do dua in Ramadan, especially to read Quran in Ramadan, to read salah in Ramadan, to do dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah protect us from our souls and our egos from becoming inflated and self-infatuated. May Allah allow our souls to grow. May Allah nourish our souls. May Allah allow our souls to become those souls that are reunited with Him in the hereafter. May Allah make our souls that are siraj and munira, illuminated and bright, radiant in this world, and a reflection of the majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the beautiful akhlaq of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah have mercy on the people of Iran. May Allah have mercy upon all the people who are suffering around the world. May Allah remove all the tyrants and oppressors from this world. May Allah take their reckoning in this world and the hereafter. May Allah help us to help those who need help. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala create us in Bolton, in the UK, and all of across the world, a peaceful and stable environment where people care about each other, where people are concerned about each other, where people do not bomb each other, where people show affection and mercy upon each other. May Allah grant us merciful leaders in this country. May Allah make us merciful leaders within our homes and our community. May Allah forgive all of our sins in Ramadan. May Allah elevate our ranks as a result of our actions in Ramadan. May Allah grant us a death in Ramadan. May Allah grant us a death on the day of Friday. May Allah grant us a death in a state of ibad and worship. May Allah grant us a death in a state of fasting. May Allah grant us a death in a beautiful way in which we are resurrected with Him. May Allah grant us death in His path. May Allah grant us death reading the Quran, doing dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, giving in charity. May Allah grant us death making dua. Oh Allah, we ask You to accept all the du'as that have been made today. We ask You to bless all the people who are present here today. Bless them, bless their families, bless their health, bless their wealth. Bless them in this world, bless them in hereafter. May Allah bless all of our mothers and sisters listening at home, all the children. May Allah accept all of their fasting. May Allah accept all of their prayers. May Allah accept all of their charity. May Allah make this Ramadan the best of Ramadans for them. May Allah help them to stay on the right path of Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this Ramadan the means of guidance and goodness. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all Jannah al-Firdaus. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. جزاك الله خير. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.